This is truth for today. I know that many people have come to saving faith in Jesus Christ by thinking through for themselves the stunning reality of Jesus being a true human being and at the same time being God himself. See, you can share with Jesus like you do with a human friend, knowing that he will understand. And at the same time, you have to think of him as the Almighty God himself, who is unlimited in resources. He is God himself. He speaks, and it's there. Believe it. And accept it for yourself. Receive life in Jesus. If you go home and start reading the Gospel of John for yourself, and I hope to be busy with this Gospel for a while, start reading it. And listen to what Jesus has to say. And don't just think, well, here is a man speaking or is a prophet speaking. Think, no, listen to it as it, here is God himself speaking. And I want to know what he has to say to me. That's the way to receive life in Jesus. In verse 16, John the Baptist, he adds the witness of all the believers. And that's John the Gospel writer again. John adds the witness of all the believers and saying this, from the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. See, John, the author, and the apostles were the first ones to see the glory of Jesus Christ. The glory of the one and only who came from the Father. They were eyewitnesses right from the start of Jesus' public ministry. But that's not where it stopped. It's not so that only the people who have personally met Jesus during his life on earth were blessed by him. Now, John writes this gospel many years later. And by that time, the number of followers of Jesus has become huge. They have come from all tribes and tongues and people and nations. And they all share exactly the same experience. We have received one blessing after another. See, every person who truly receives the light of the world, Jesus, develops a personal relationship with the living Jesus. And that changes your whole outlook on life. And every Christian should be able to relate to that. Once you have embraced Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you experience a change in the way you look at things. Things that once were very important to you lose much of their appeal. For instance, all kind of material things. You still like them and use them because you are a human being, but you are not dependent on them any longer. You're not seeking them in a hungry way, desiring satisfaction from those things. No, once you have found Jesus Christ, you are content anyway. Jesus satisfies all the desires of your heart. Your hunger and thirst is over. You're free. What a blessing to experience such a freedom. Well, because that's the blessing that John means. It's the same blessing that the Apostle Paul speaks about when he says, I do not live anymore. I do not live any longer, but Christ lives in me. Whatever blessings I experience, they're all connected to Christ. Jesus Christ himself is your very blessing. That is the testimony of the church of all ages. It's the living witness of all true Christians. Once you have received Jesus Christ in a real way, you are showered with blessings. And don't think of those blessings in terms of material prosperity or so, or physical health or things like that. No, rather, think of these blessings as knowing this deep contentment and security that whatever happens to you in life, you are safe anyway. You've hope. For you have already received life in Jesus. Now, where do these blessings come from? Our text says, from the fullness of his grace. See, that is the secret of Christian life. In all religions, the main idea is to give something to God, or to present yourself to God so that he may bless you, or things like that. You give him all kinds of things in order that you get approval for your plans. Or to gain blessings from him that you otherwise wouldn't have. But true faith is opposite of that. Christian faith starts with the humble acknowledgement that we can give nothing to God that he doesn't have already a thousandfold. God is complete in himself. He has it all, and he doesn't need anything from us. He even can do without our thankfulness. But he loves it when people turn to him in confession of their total dependency on him. He loves it when you ask for his grace and when you pray to receive a living relationship with God himself. And the moment you do that, in all earnest, he will give it abundantly. He hands out from the fullness of his grace, and that's the source that never stops flowing. Those who have found it receive grace upon grace. See, as Christians, we are not only saved by grace. That's the beginning of our Christian life. No, we also live by grace from moment to moment. We know that we are totally dependent on him for all we have, for all we do, for all we are. We are totally dependent on him. It's by grace only. We have never a moment to take pride in anything we have or do. That is living by grace alone. See, that determines our whole outlook of life. We know that provision for all our needs, also for the coming year, it's in the hands of God, and we fully trust him to provide in his way. Now, we know that we often disappoint God by the things we do or think. We are still so prone to sin. But we know too, we have a gracious God, and we live by grace. And that makes us the more determined to fight against the sins left in us. Now, you know, who understood these things? Moses. The very man the Jews are so proud of. Well, as you know, the most severe persecution of the early Christians always came from the side of the Jews. Understandably, because they felt threatened in their religion. They thought that the law was the only thing that God had ever given to his people and the only thing that he would ever give to his people. And they faithfully used the law of Moses as a guide in their life. Because they believed, and quite rightly so, that God had given the law through Moses. And indeed, the law functioned for them as a light in the darkness. But as the Bible says, Psalm 119, the light of the law is ultimately no more than a small lantern to find a path before your feet. It's very helpful if you walk in the darkness. But when Jesus came, he came as the light of the world, bright as the sun, to remove all darkness. Now, it's one of the saddest things of the history of God's people on earth that God's first chosen people kept preferring the torch of the law. When the Sun of Righteousness was shining already in its full splendor. So John says, for the law was given through Moses. But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ, the mediator of the law. Moses was a great man, no doubt. But his light is like a burning torch in full sunshine. You have to look twice before you're sure that it's still on. So don't be silly, friends. There are many people who know a lot about Jesus Christ, who adhere to all the Christian doctrines about the only Savior, but for all practical purposes, they still live by the torch of the law. They do their best to give to God. They present themselves as righteous people. They want to be obedient to his laws, but have never been set free from the curse of the law, for they have never truly received Jesus Christ as the only way to find God. They think they are Christians, but they have not moved beyond the understanding of the Jews. They still live by the law and not by the grace and the truth that Jesus brought. They cling to the old covenant while the new covenant has arrived already. If you recognize yourself in that description, you say, well, I know a lot about the Bible and about doctrine and about good Christian doctrine and things like that, but I'm still trying hard to live the way God wants me to live, and I'm failing all the time. If you recognize yourself in that description, what do you do? There's only one thing to do, and that is forget about your own efforts to do things right in God's eyes. Begin to acknowledge your complete failure, no matter how hard you try, no matter how well you have done. It's a failure. And then you're ready to receive what God offers to you, the righteousness of Jesus Christ himself. And it's available for all those who truly believe in him. And it's only a complete surrender to Jesus Christ in faith that can make you see this grace and truth. It will make you experience the fullness of his grace. Only Jesus himself is the way, the truth, and the life. So receive life in him. That is the testimony of Moses and all the prophets of the Old Testament. You only need to be enlightened by the Holy Spirit to see it on every page of the Bible, even the Old Testament. It's all about Jesus Christ and the righteousness that he gives away for those who place their trust in him. The final witness that John puts forward in order to convince people to receive life in Jesus is Jesus Christ himself. Verse 18. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. Now, there's no way that you can see God in his full glory, because he is a spiritual being far beyond human understanding. But God, in his grace, has always given to people glimpses of whom he is. Moses, for instance, saw a bit of God's glory when he asked for it, and his face shone for days, so bright that it was too much to bear for the people around him. But in our text, John speaks about a special person who has seen God in his full glory. And John calls him here God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side. Now, John refers again here to the Son of God, the same person whom he has called the Word of God in the beginning of this chapter. And the Word who was in the beginning with God. And we know he's talking there about Jesus himself. The man who was born as a baby in Bethlehem is no one else than the Son of God who came from heaven. He was close with God the Father. He knew him intimately. He enjoyed his Father's company from eternity on. He knew of his Father's joys and his Father's pain. The pain of a creator who saw his creation destroyed by evil powers. And then the Son of God had made himself available to do something. And he knew exactly what needed to be done. The power of sin in man had to be broken. And there was only one way to do this. That was to become a man himself and to make right what man has done wrong. And he also had to take upon himself the consequences of man's sin. And finally, by being around for a few years, he had to show people whom God really was. Well, that's the task John refers to. We will never know and see God until we have seen him in Jesus. And Jesus testifies about himself. No one can come to the Father except through me. Jesus has made the Father known. And that means that Jesus, by being whom he was, has shown whom God is. If you want to know God, asked Jesus. If you want to see God, look at Jesus. If you want to love God, start to love Jesus for what he has done. For it's through him that God has contacted us for our salvation. Hebrews 1, verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. No one has ever seen God. But look at Jesus. And if you look long enough, you will see indeed the radiance of the Father's glory. For he is the exact representation of God's being. Embrace Jesus Christ with all your heart and ask him to take over in your life until you discover for yourself what John is talking about. Receive the grace and truth that abounds in Jesus. And then you will experience the great blessing of being alive in him. Let's pray. O Father in heaven, what a wonderful gospel we have. That we may hear and see how you sent Jesus into this world to die for our sin and to rise again for our justification. Lord, thank you for that wonderful blessing. Thank you for your grace by which we receive the opposite of what we deserved. We received life while we deserved death. Lord, thank you for that. Lord, thank you for revealing the truth to us in Jesus, that this world was made through him. But also this world will be restored through him. Lord, thank you that by faith we can be in Jesus Christ and be part of all those wonderful blessings. Lord, work powerfully with your Holy Spirit in our hearts that we may receive him. And if we have received him in our hearts, that we may live for him, that we may live for the new Lord in our life, that we may follow him wholeheartedly wherever he calls us. Also in the coming year, Lord, we pray that we may be disciples of Jesus, that we follow him, and that we can take people along who are only beginners in following him and who want to learn about him and who also experience a beginning of that great blessing that we have by knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we pray that we are faithful in our task and calling in this world, that we hand out this gospel as we have received it, freely. Lord, we pray that you would continue to guide us and to give us what we need as your people. In Jesus' name, amen.